I wonder, have you ever experienced something that just stunned you? So we open the Bible today to John chapter 13. We read of an incident that may well have stunned the disciples. Jesus did the unexpected by washing their feet. So this morning our primary scripture is John chapter 13, verses 1 to 17, and I've entitled the sermon, Washing One Another's Feet. John 13, verse 1, Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil, having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this. Peter said to him, You shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, You are not all clean. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Now, what do we make of this amazing turn of events? Or what is it that we ought to make note of as we consider this account? Now, I have a hunch that if you're walking with the Lord, then the Spirit of the Lord may impress upon you certain things that I may not even be saying, perhaps even impress them upon you as I was reading this account. God has a wonderful way of speaking to our hearts. But I would like us, though, to take note especially of three things from this text this morning, that we might ponder them a bit more. The first one being that Jesus loved his disciples to the end. I think that's significant. It's relevant for you and I, and we want to talk about that a little bit. And then secondly, we want to note how Jesus demonstrated his love for the disciples by washing their feet. And then thirdly, the entire point being that we are to follow the example of Jesus in loving service to one another. So, first of all, let's note how Jesus loved his disciples to the end. Notice again verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Now, probably all of us had times that we were mindful of something significant that was about to happen. As a child, it may have been a birthday that was right around the corner, right? Yes. Or it might have been a Christmas gift exchange or a vacation trip. Or then a little bit older, perhaps it was a graduation or the beginning of a job or a wedding. Later in life, there may have been the closing on the purchase of a house or the arrival of a grandchild or the completion of a lengthy project. For some, on a bit of a different note, it was the expected departure of a parent or a spouse or an individual that was close to us. Now, Jesus was much aware that the time of his departure was at hand. In other words, he was mindful that it was almost the time when he was going to be betrayed, arrested, crucified, dead, and buried. Yes, realizing that he would rise again and that he would ascend back to the Father. But he knew, according to verse 2, that the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot to betray him. So there was that awareness. The awareness of that might have thrown some people for a loop. I mean, can you imagine if we were in that kind of situation? Many people would just look inwardly if that were the case. But Jesus continued to be mindful of and thinking about and looking out for the disciples. He loved them, our text says, to the end. Now, the Beacon Bible Commentary makes some interesting observations and comments regarding this. I guess I hadn't thought about it in this sense before, but the words translated unto the end indicate degree, completely, fully, absolutely. And here combine the meanings to the end and to the uttermost. So that McGregor translates to the utmost limits of love, and Hoskins has it, he loved them completely and finally to the uttermost unto death. Think about it. Jesus was able to stay the course because he knew the purpose for which he had come into the world. He came to save the world, and that would give place, or that would take place by the giving of himself on the cross, by his body being broken and by his blood being shed for our sins. In this, the love of God was manifest toward us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. 1 John 4, verse 9. So I wonder this morning whether you and I mean, we know about the love of God. We've come to experience the love of God. We sing about the love of God. But I wonder whether we have truly, fully entered into the Savior's love. And the reason I ask that is because of how the Apostle Paul writes when he was talking to the believers at Ephesus at one point, and he was not only exhorting them in certain ways, but he was telling them and sharing with them how he was praying for them. And so we pick up actually in midstream with one of the prayers that he was talking about. This is in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 to 19. Praying that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. You and I are disciples of Christ, walking and living in fellowship with the Lord, then he will love us to the end. He will love us to the uttermost. He will never leave us, or the Pakistan Christians. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Well, let's move on to the second key point then, and that being that Jesus was demonstrating his love by washing the feet of the disciples. Notice again verses 3 to 5. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Now, some of you may recall an incident for you as a young person or perhaps a sibling. You know, you were outside playing. It was a hot summer day. You were barefooted. You came into the house and were planning to head off to the bedroom or into the living room or whatever, but you were stopped dead in your tracks when your mother said, "Don't you go dragging all that dirt into the living room. Don't you go on the carpet with your feet looking like that." Now you march right into the bathroom and wash those feet, right? Well, during Bible times, people generally wore sandals, and so feet got dusty, or depending where they were walking or what they were doing, got dirty or grimy. And the custom was to have a basin of water available for people to wash their feet as they entered a house or a home. And depending on the situation, it may be that there was a servant who would wash the feet for guests as they arrived. Now, what took place with Jesus and the disciples here was totally unexpected. It was totally unexpected for several reasons. Number one, it took place after supper instead of as people were gathering. Number two, it was not done for cleanliness reasons, for hygienic reasons. It was for some other purpose, for some other reason that Jesus was doing this. And number three, it was the Lord doing the foot washing, not a servant. So what's up with all this? The entire thing was an extraordinary turn of events. What was taking place blew Peter's mind. According to verse 6, then he, that's Jesus, came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, "Lord, are you washing my feet?" And a person has to wonder, it would be interesting to know what all was going through Peter's mind as he was trying to process on the spot what was happening and what he was going to do or not allow to be done or whatever. Did Peter think about the implications of the Lord, about Jesus reaching out in this way to he being a fisherman? As we think of the bigger picture, though, this really was not out of character for Jesus. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the Philippians, said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." That's in Philippians 2, verses 5-7. That's the character, that part of the nature of God in Christ Jesus. Jesus demonstrated his love not just in stooping down to wash the feet of the disciples, but in the entire matter of going to the cross. The Bible says, "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." That's in 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. Now, we've been talking about Peter, but what about you and I? Have we allowed the Lord to wash us? In verse 8, Peter said to Jesus, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Now, there may be more afoot in this passage than just the entire thing of foot washing. There may be the reminder that we are needy people, and we, in fact, need what only the Lord can provide. Even disciples of Jesus need periodic cleansing. We sometimes get dirty, do we not? Sometimes there are attitudes or actions that simply are not Christ-like, that sort of pop up or creep up, or we allow them to come in. What then? Well, the Bible says, thankfully, in 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to what? To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We need to humble ourselves before the Lord and acknowledge our need and allow Him to minister to us. Well, Jesus loved His disciples to the end. He demonstrated His love by washing the feet of the disciples. Now, the third point is this. We are to follow the example of Jesus by our loving service to others. We pick up with the text in verses 12 to 15. So when He had washed their feet, taken His garments, sat down again, He said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." Now, there are times when here at the North Lima Church, we do practice foot washing along with a communion service. And those times can be very meaningful and very special as brothers and sisters are sharing together, coming together, relating together. But that ritual or ordinance ought not to be thought of as the grand finale. The act of foot washing should remind us of what Jesus did and what He called us to. We're called to action. In other words, we're called to serve one another. So, plain, simple, down-to-earth kind of stuff. When Diane had her surgery last May, there were some of you that brought food to the house during that first week or two. That was love in action. And I've shared before about the late Dan Meininger, who had a ministry of encouragement and prayer, and he would periodically send me handwritten notes and a greeting card and would remind me that he is praying for me and for my ministry and so on. And that was love in action. And I remember so well the time that, again, some of you, when we were moving from Coshocton to Boardman, some of you came down and helped carry boxes out and load the truck, and others drove the truck, and you unloaded the truck and carried it in and cleaned the house and wondered where was all this stuff going to go. Yeah, that was love in action. Now, the disciples didn't always understand what should characterize followers of Jesus, and consequently, we have this recorded in Luke chapter 22. I'm turning to Luke 22, verses 24 to 27. Now, there was also a dispute among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest, and He said to them, Jesus said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors. But not so among you. On the contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs as he who serves. For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am among you as the one who serves. So Jesus was making it clear to his disciples at that point, as well as at other times, he was making it clear by what he said and what he did that true greatness involves service. It involves serving other people. And sometimes that involves serving people right in our own family. Those that are going through difficult times or have special needs or perhaps for a season have health complications or whatever the case might be. Other times it may be persons in our church family. The Apostle Paul, when he was writing to the Galatians, said, as he was encouraging them to reach out, he said, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those of the household of faith. It's in Galatians 6:10. Sometimes, though, and perhaps this becomes even a more difficult thing for us, depending on our personalities and so on, but sometimes those things are such that we need to graciously receive from others, allowing others to wash our feet. And when that's the case, we ought to rejoice that there indeed are those who are demonstrating the love of God by desiring and wanting to be of service or of encouragement or of blessing to us at that point in time. I find it interesting that I was noting the other day the denominational logo of the Free Will Baptists, and they actually have several different things in their logo, but one of them is a basin and a towel. That's interesting. They apparently want their identity to include that of Christian service, picking up on this very passage of scripture that we're looking at this morning. What about us? What do we value as individuals, or what do we value as a church? What should we be known for? Well, after washing the disciples' feet and talking about the example he put before them, Jesus said in verse 17, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. If you know these things, you enter into the life of blessing as you then put into practice these matters. Heavenly Father, it truly is amazing as we think of the life and ministry of Jesus and his pattern, his example, his teachings. Lord, forgive us for times when we have failed to live up to our calling as followers of Christ. Help us, Lord, to be about your business, to be your people in this world that we're living in. And may you continue to be at work in the world, not only in your church, strengthening, sustaining, upholding, helping your followers to live joyfully regardless of their circumstances or their situation or their persecution. But may you be at work then through your church into the world so that others might be intrigued as well and want to know what's up as you are at work drawing them unto yourself. So bless us, help us, work through us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.